Hey folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
Yo, it is the Tornado Tony Pettico.
And Psychic Tom Patrick with this. Crystal ball ready to go.
And sorry about being late tonight, but you know, I got one of them big van U-Hauls, right? And I'm driving down the street tonight, and I go by Conor McGregor, and next thing you know, there's a hand trolley going through my window. Can you believe this guy? I mean,
it's ludicrous.
Yeah. Worse than WWE stunt. This is real shit. And then, you know, he just walked out of the courtroom like he's a big stud after his arraignment and didn't appear to be, you know, remorseful at all. And the crazy part is it didn't even injure his intended target. It injured two other guys who ended up having to pull themselves off the car.
Unfortunately, that's usually what happens.
Yeah. And then the funny part is...
You don't even hear about stuff like this in the NBA or the NFL. I mean, I never heard of football teams attacking the bus of the other teams, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of, like, individual, like, incidents, but nothing along this level and, you know, nothing this ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing stuff. And, I think I sent both of you guys the Dana White quote where he said, "I've had so many things thrown at me this week."
Unintended, huh? Yeah.
Bad choice of words, buddy, you know.
Yeah.
What was crazy, though, because he picked up a guardrail, too, like a barrier. And he threw that, but I think he missed. And then he threw the hand cart. But Michael Chiesa, I believe, like, got some glass in his eye.
No, that was Ray Borg. Chiesa got his head cut.
Oh.
Pretty bad. But didn't go in the eye. Ray Borg supposedly had a scratch on his cornea.
One of them had a cornea.
Tell you what, I think Ray Borg's going to have a much bigger payday in court.
Yeah, right.
Than he would have made in that fight. And he deserves every penny of it and then some. You guys know what it's like when you're training for a fight. It's miserable. And go through a couple of months of that. And the day before, after all the food you shoved away, after all the times you said no, after all the, and then all for this, they'll have a good payday in court. Well earned.
And if that wasn't enough of a circus, you know, the last minute changes of opponents, it was just... a lot of people that bought tickets were probably pretty pissed off at the end of the whole thing. But getting back to the McGregor incident before it all started, the fights, I mean, Artem Lobov is the culprit who is not only in trouble for bad defense, I've criticized him for it, but he was walking through the hotel lobby before the fights here. And, of course, they put all the friggin' fighters in one hotel. It's probably not a good idea. You know, they should have a visitor's hotel and a home hotel or something, you know. So they're walking by each other's teams, and they're not even fighting each other. But, you know, they're both from the Russia region. And Khabib is like a Muslim Russian, and even though he's in Ireland now, Lobov... Artem there is, I think, like a pro-government Russian, so I think he was called a Chechenian by one of the guys on Nurmagomedov's team. And if you watch the clip, I finally found somebody who had posted the clip of that whole incident. It goes on for like 10 minutes where they're speaking Russian at each other, they've got each other up against walls, like there's no fist thrown, but like you can tell there's some threatening language, like who knows if somebody made a death threat or whatever happened in there. It was vicious conversation. So I think after hearing that, whatever was said, which was obviously some offensive stuff, McGregor, not giving him any excuse here, but McGregor wanted to fight him right there on the spot. And obviously it seems like he ran to the back of the bus and avoided the trolley, the hand trolley. But unreal stuff. And I am very surprised that they have not handed down a suspension immediately. They've already charged him criminally, so why hasn't the UFC come in and said, you're suspended for at least 6 months, you know, provisionally?
Now, you don't think it has anything to do with money, do you, Rich?
Oh, jeez. Good.
Nothing to do with the Starless organization at this point, according to Dana White.
It could.
I wouldn't think that would have anything, because after all, everybody's equal, right? Yeah.
And the crazy part is, I was rooting my ass off for Al Iaquinta, because if he won, then McGregor would still have the title, and that would be the biggest laughing stock of all. Because, well, technically nobody would have the title, but, you know, McGregor could still say he owned it, you know. But Al Iaquinta got his ass beat, unfortunately. And, Khabib Nurmagomedov really didn't showcase anything new. Al made a go of it, you know. He definitely tried. Tom, did you watch that fight or what? Jeez.
No. No, I didn't. I mean, things just spun out of control so bad, I didn't even bother. I would have had to make a little bit of a trip, and I was too lazy. But, yeah, the main event was my favorite description of Russell with the F after, you know, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Major congrats for Arquinda, to accept the fight on 2 days' notice, but...
Yeah, unreal.
It's just with Khabib. I just don't think that Al had the power to stop him on the feet. And his takedown wasn't there.
You got to imagine, he's comparing for a completely different game this whole training camp. He finds out two days ago he's going to be in the main event. He's facing a big guy. And I think him getting picked for that has a lot to do with the fact that the UFC just does not like him. And they knew that he would try to win just because they... Yeah, they weren't going to give him a belt. But, you know, it's not like he was thrown in there to be an opponent either. Like, he really did have a shot, but...
Yeah.
It's not good matchmaking to do that at the last second just to save a card or whatever they wanted to do by doing that. It's just not...
Yeah, and the whole thing started going bad with Tony, with his bad knee. Things started to go to hell then. It just got worse. And then Max couldn't fight. I mean, talk about Murphy's Law, huh?
Yep.
Can't go on will. Wow.
Blame it on Russia. It's a problem. We need a special counsel to investigate this. Mueller. Here's some boxing news. Anyway, we're going to shift gears. Talk about that card later. The Contender is going to be featuring Tony's buddy from the set of Creed, Andre Ward.
Really?
Yeah, and Freddie Roach and Nazeem Richardson are going to be coaches.
Oh, wow. So basically all three guys that I've met.
There you go.
Well, what channel will that be on, Rich?
I don't know. Aren't you the psychic? No, just kidding.
Well, you know, my antennas are put to more esoteric use than these mundane things like TV channels. You know?
I'm just kidding. EPIX. I don't know if you ever heard of it. But it's a premium cable.
What? I'm sorry? What?
EPIX. EPIX.
Okay.
12-hour... long episodes, not 12 hours each episode, but 12 episodes an hour long. Beginning in late August or September.
Yeah, hopefully they'll be on YouTube if I can't find that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that network, but maybe there's another equivalent of it somewhere around here. Contenda. So... what else we got? I know we got some other news.
I got some pretty good boxing news.
What do you got?
Out of Philadelphia.
What do you got there, Tony?
There is, you guys ever hear of Glenwood Avenue in Philadelphia?
Glenwood Avenue. Sounds familiar.
Well, I'm surprised because I had never heard of it until yesterday. There is no more Glenwood Avenue
in Philadelphia, or Glenwood Drive, or whatever it was. Because now it is the appropriately named Smoking Joe Frazier Boulevard.
Ha ha!
Nice. Oh. They had a ceremony. Like I said, I didn't find out about it. I was at work yesterday, and I'm starting to get photos sent to me, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
Uh-huh.
I'm like, shit! Like, this is awesome! But, you know, Larry Holmes was there. I know some of the people that were there. Some of the people I hung out at the Joe Frazier statue dedication were there. And the one thing Larry came out and said, and, you know, and Rich, you know this from when we saw Larry up at the Brockton, Mass. Statue dedication. Larry's the guy that, he speaks his mind, and he was like, this is way too, you know, long in the making.
Yeah.
And he was right. And another of my friends pointed out the same thing. It's just truly a shame that Joe wasn't here to, you know, not just see his statue, but enjoy this as well.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. And, great guy. Great champion. And, obviously a big part of Philadelphia history.
Yeah, it's hard to say anything bad about Joe, because when I talked to Terry Daniels about that fight, you know, Foreman back then, there was a lot of hatred in his punches. But, and Terry agreed with that. And Ollie could have a mean streak, too. Now, Terry never fought Ollie. He fought an exhibition with Ollie. But I asked him about Joe. And because I always just got the feeling Joe was just out there doing a job, and he completely agreed with me. And you guys have seen that fight; it's not a pretty one at all. But Joe was just doing a job, and Terry understood what I meant by that. And he says, "No, there was no hatred in his punches at all." Whereas George Foreman, there was in those days. I mean, he really wanted to hurt you, and Joe was just out there to, you know, he didn't want to really cause serious damage to his opponent. He was a sportsman.
Yep. We've also got bare knuckle boxing. You sent this to me first as a link that Wyoming is regulating it, and then now they're having their first event already. So it's going to be literally the first state-sanctioned bare knuckle card in the United States since.
I love that phrase.
1889, which is the year after the first house I remember living in was built, in Dorchester. 1889. Can you believe it?
Okay, I wonder if there was a real demand for this, because we have MMA, we have K-1, we have Glory, we have all these other things, and of course our regular boxing. Where's the demand for this bare knuckle stuff coming from?
I don't know, but
I don't know. Really don't get it, to be honest.
I'm not upset about it. I'm just kind of scratching my head, saying, "Wonder who came up with this." Sounds like an Art Davey thing. You remember Art Davey had that combat arm wrestling that didn't take off. I don't know if you guys heard of that.
That was
nuts.
That's awesome.
These guys would arm wrestle, and
Exxon.
Then
they still exist.
Punch each other with their other hand.
Yeah,
and kick each other.
And try to do submissions.
They only had one event. They didn't get off the ground.
Now this one, the promoter is Dave Feldman.
Deal for over the top two.
Yeah, there you go.
The promoter for this one is Dave Feldman. I don't know if he's related to the Feldmans from Philly area there.
Then there was a David Feldman, but I don't know what his relationship with the family is.
Anyway, he's promoting this. It's called Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. They're going to have an event June 2nd in Cheyenne, Wyoming. It's going to feature former UFC and Bellator fighters and current pro boxers. And they recently
Tank Abbott. Maybe Tank will make a comeback.
I doubt it. I think they have to find the nursing home that he's in first.
Hey, he's 15 years younger than I am.
Oh, no! Sorry.
Well, he's got some tread on those tires.
He's taking a lot more punches and alcohol to his brain than you have, Tom. But yeah, our former guest will be there for sure. Bobby Gunn. Bobby Gunn's gonna fight.
There we go.
Rico Rodriguez. He's been in the news for the other one. The other, the porno site fight card. He's on too. Joe Riggs already back from his trip to Russia. He's gonna be on this card.
Wow.
Maurice Jackson, former Bellator heavyweight Eric Prindle, and former UFC fighters DJ Linderman and Johnny Bedford. And there's going to be a tournament too, a heavyweight tournament. And I've actually seen this done with the Joe Riggs fight, and there's some crazy rules to it, and it's very difficult. Like Bobby Gunn was talking about it a little bit on our show. When we interviewed him, he was just starting to really get into it. And I believe that there was a documentary that he was in where he made the point that, you know, you really end up throwing a lot more body shots, and it throws a lot of guys off who've never fought bare knuckle because, you know, that's the soft spot on the body, and you're not going to damage your knuckles, and you save your head shots for when the guy's bent over and gasping, you know? And it's wide
open. So in other words, this is just regular Marcus of Queensberry rules, but no gloves, or are the clinches different? Knees, or?
No, there's no submissions, there's no punching on the ground or anything like that. It's not kickboxing, there's no kicks. It's just straight up punching. And they can wrap the hands, I believe, up to the thumb. And that's it. And they cannot wrap their knuckles. Tomcat.
That's why it's called bare knuckle, huh?
Yeah. And a lot of states said that they will do regulation on this. They just don't want to be the first one. So Wyoming became the first one.
Wyoming's like anything. We have nothing else going for us.
Well, they got a good excuse. They said that we already regulate and sanction MMA and kickboxing, and in both of those you can receive knee to the head, a shin kick to the head, and an elbow to the head. That's all heavy, heavy, blunt force trauma. So hand striking scores far lower than that. I think you'll see far less concussive blows to fighters, and that'll protect everybody. But what he doesn't tell you is there's going to be a lot more hand injuries. You're going to need a lot of titanium at the hospital after these fights. People walking out with titanium fingers. Anyway. So, that's going on out in Wyoming. June 2nd. Let's see what we got for going on over in BoxRec. Arislandi Lara lost last weekend to Jarrett Hurd. He stays undefeated.
Yeah, I heard it was a great fight. I had dozed off by that point. But, you know, I did see the first fight, Julian Williams out of Philadelphia, and, you know, which was a decent performance on his part. And, but Lara, you know, Hurd did the job.
All right.
Yeah, I said it was very close till the last round. That knocked out the judges.
Well, then.
I had a scoring debate today at work. One gentleman works in our maintenance department, and he and I talk a lot of fights. Very knowledgeable gentleman, and he was, you know, talking, and he's like, you know, when he scored the fight, he's like, he goes, up until the knockdown, he had Lara winning. He goes, in my mind, I still think he won. And I said, well, you know, I can't really comment on it because I didn't get a chance to really sit down, watch the fight, see the fight, score the fight. Which, you know, I want to make some time, maybe hopefully this weekend if I have time to do. But I told him one thing, and I took this from Max Kellerman maybe a good 15, 18 years ago when he was first starting out on ESPN, and one thing Max said, because I had just taken my coach's certification at that time, Max made a great point, and I believe this. When watching a fight, you watch the two fighters in the ring, obviously with a neutral eye, and you determine at the end of that round, who would I rather be? So obviously you take out crazy things like headbutts and elbows and things like that, and you say, punch for punch, who would I rather be? You know, so if you're looking at a guy and, you know, he's moving and he's, you know, doing all this flashy stuff, which is maybe catching the judge's eyes, but he's not really throwing many punches, and then he takes maybe two or three big punches at the end, well, I'd probably rather be the other guy. If you watch him fight and, you know, one guy's, you know, really working with a lot of shots, and maybe they're not pretty, or they're not, you know, clean, or, you know, like, they're, as a term I invented today, Marciano looking, you know, just brute strength and power, you know, and you look very caveman-esque, but if you're getting the job done, that's who I'd rather be. You know, if you're at the guy and you're keeping the opponent at bay, and you're spearing him, and you're making him look bad, and he's missing wildly, and maybe he's taking these big, impressive swings, but they're not really landing clean, and they're patting him 6, 7, 8, 9 times, that's who I'd rather be. And that's who allows me to determine who I think won that round. And, I mean, I don't like to pat myself on the back here, but when I watch fights, and I always try to compare my scores with the official scores, and then with the Associated Press scores, and I'm usually pretty accurate. You know, I turn in better cards than Adelaide Bird does.
Hey, that's not saying much. I wouldn't say that too loud.
Yeah, you're right. That's saying much.
That's like saying that you finger paint better than a kindergartner.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
Anyway. There's not a lot of fight action going on this weekend. In boxing, anyway. Yes. I didn't pick out the mismatch of the week right away, though. Found that one. Course. Over in France, Sebastian Madani comes in at middleweight with a record of 35-3-1. He's fighting Mikhail. Get ready for this one. Mozulishvili. He is 6-6-4, fighting a guy with 35 wins.
Well, if he can get 2 draws, well, what a record that 4 would be.
Draws.
And then retire. Okay, fight of the week.
We got some stuff going on in Japan on Saturday for titles. Japanese light flyweight title. Tetsuya Hisada, 30 wins, 9 losses, 2 draws. Fighting Koji Itagaki, who is 18-11-3. That's a good first name for a fighter. Go Onaga. Go Onaga. His record is 28-3 with 4 draws. He's fighting Hiroyuki Kudaka, who's 25-17-2. And this is for the vacant Japanese super flyweight title. That's not one of the weights you'd think would be vacant, huh? In Japan. Quintana Roo, Mexico, we got Jose Felix Jr. in a lightweight main event. He's 36-2-1, fighting Marcos Villasana Jr., who is 21-6. That one's for the vacant World Boxing Council Fieker Box lightweight title. And we've also got co-main event of Francisco Rojo, who is 21-3, fighting Galvis Guerra, who is 15-2-3. Not a heck of a lot going on. Saturday, not even a big fight day for boxing, unfortunately, this week. But we've got 2 MMA events. This one in the United Kingdom. All right, we're chatting about. What's this one? Tom the cat would like to say something, I think.
He's angry.
Yeah. Active. Yeah,
why is he so mad all the time? What is that cat's problem, Rich?
I don't know, some nights he's good, and then other times, I think he's starting to go blind, so like he doesn't realize his food is right next to him, and he's meowing for it. He's getting to that 20-something-year-old age, you know.
Wow.
He's not really declining in health, but he's definitely going, his sight is going, for sure.
Not good.
Yeah.
But he knows where everything is, I think, by smell, and he's not missing the litter box, so that's the most important.
He sounds like he still has a powerful voice.
Yeah. Oh, he talks. That's his specialty. He's crawling down for bed now, so maybe I'm keeping him up. That's why he's mad. here's a fight card out in Salinas, boxing match. Featherweight main event, Marlon Olea, who is 13-2, fighting Ruben Villa, who's 10-0. That one for the vacant WBO youth featherweight title. What else? That's it for Saturday. Nothing. No big fights next Saturday. We got a Jesus fight of the week. Already, it's the main event. Jesus Marcelo Andres Queller, four name Jesus, fighting Gervonta Davis next
week.
That's
quite a title.
And then we got a wannabe Jesus, Jesse Vargas, fighting Adrian Broner next week. Carl Frampton versus Nonito Donaire also next Saturday. So we'll be talking about all those.
How much
food
does Donaire have left is the question.
Right. Also, we did mention Caleb Truax lost the rematch to James DeGale over the weekend. And obviously, DeGale treated the whole loss of his title and everything as a hiccup. It was just a mistake. And he blamed it on a lot of things after the fight. And, you know, wasn't sure he still had it. But obviously, he's still got something left. Good for him.
Oh, and then apparently we may not be having a fight on Cinco de Mayo. Can't seem to find an opponent for Triple G. Heard about that, ladies?
Yeah. How do you give a guy named Spike O'Sullivan a shot at a title?
Spike O'Sullivan.
I actually saw him fight in Dorchester. And they put that out on ESPN, and I'm thinking to myself, where did this guy's name come from as a contender? They give him an opportunity, he says no.
Yeah, that's
he didn't want to get his ass kicked.
He's going to fight at the StubHub, I guess. He's going to fight that weekend, but he's going to StubHub. I just love the name of that place. In Carson, California, at StubHub. The home of the Carson Chargers. It used to be the San Diego Chargers. They play at the StubHub.
Yeah.
It's
an Eagles home game.
Yeah. So Spike O'Sullivan turned down his shot at glory. And, so Triple G is right now going to have to shadow box. Can't seem to get anyone.
Well, I guess I'm lucky I didn't get tickets for that one.
Maybe they can find a cousin to the bull that he ate, and he can just ride it in the ring for a while. Saddle him up! Yeah, poor Triple G. But I think they'll get him somebody.
By May 5th, I don't know. I mean, it's not like we're that far away from that.
Demetrius Andrade wants it.
Yeah,
sure,
I know.
He's got that message out there. Nobody else is stepping up.
And you know, there was a bit of an argument in one of the comment sections about that. and someone was condemning Triple G for it, but then the question is, who's Andre, who's the other guy fought? I mean, he's not really a household name. He doesn't fight too frequently.
He's actually famous for a stool-throwing incident, I believe. This is the most newsworthy fight. If you look him up, you can find it. But I think it happened right after he appeared in Boston at an event right around the corner from where I used to live. All right, what is this? What is this crap, Shardog? Trying to show me a drone that I don't want. No, thank you. Stop it. Close. Oh, that's a Bellator.
The Bellator cage was dropped in Budapest. Bellator.
That's the Bellator highlights. We'll get to those in a minute. Anyway, what were we chatting about before that rude interruption?
Well, we were talking about Triple J and the fact that he's going to be Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo is going down in flames. It's all because they didn't give you tickets, Tony. So you,
that's right.
It's like the Billy Goat curse, but it's the Tony curse. Tony the Tornado
right.
curse.
You know what I did find out, though? And this made sense. As you guys know, as myself bitching and moaning a few weeks ago when I couldn't get the ticket. When I was in this week, a.k.a. Delaware County, Pennsylvania, I was talking to a couple out there that, you know, they go to Vegas, obviously much more than I do, because I've been there once. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago today, Pacquiao Bradley, too.
Wow.
4 years ago today, when I was hanging out with your boy Kenny Bayless. But there's like a website called like M Life or whatever. You got to sign up for it or some BS.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get pre-sales. So, yeah, I might have, tickets may have sold out in my eyes 2 minutes, probably because they were already gone.
Yeah.
Right?
It's tough.
And usually, like, you know, obviously, you know, being a Philadelphia guy, you know, I signed up for things, you know, through Citizens Bank Park and Lincoln Financial Field and all good stuff like that. So when there's pre-sales for, say, concerts, I usually get right on them. And, you know, so, yeah, by the time other people try to get, you know, like, the lower price seats, people, assholes like me, have already bought them before they even went on sale.
Well then, get on it next time.
Yeah, I'm on his website.
Anyway.
It will happen.
All right. Anyway, you're not going to be buying tickets to Brock Lesnar's next UFC fight anytime soon. Guarantee you that.
Re-sign with WWE?
I just read that he did re-sign with the WWE.
Yeah.
That's for one fight, and then I've heard the plan is that he has this one fight, and then he gets on board with the Nevada State Athletic Commission. He has to do a 6-month suspension. And if he signs up for that suspension in the summer, he'll be ready for the winner of Stipe and Cormier New Year's Eve.
Oh.
How's that for a plan?
Yeah, where'd you get this psychic premonition? I have not read about this.
I think it's quite possible.
Huh. We'll see.
I did not rule it out.
Yeah. Ronda Rousey also made her WrestleMania debut. I heard it went well. I saw some clips.
It did. I went over to my friend's house to watch the show, and I was impressed. You know, she came out in the Roddy Piper kill, which I thought was awesome. Huh. And, you know, she teamed with Kurt Angle against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. So you figured that Angle and Triple H would carry most of the match, and for the most part, they did. But, you know, Ronda got in there, you know, she did things, like, she did moves. She sold well. She made things look, believable. And there were times in the match, you're like, oh, shit, are they going to get screwed? Are they going to lose? And I'm like, you know, it's like, oh,
they built up a good match.
Cool.
And Stephanie, you know, blocked the armbar punch, which was kind of cool, and, you know, then finally she got it through. It was a good match.
Well, what were the last minute odds on that from Las Vegas, Tony, you know?
Boy, I did not check the all I know is that was one of the few matches on my bet pool that I didn't have right.
Okay.
All right.
We bet on a predetermined event, and I'm usually only hitting 50%.
We're covering all bases this episode. Got our WWE corner in. But it's good to see her succeeding, and hopefully we'll see her at more events now that she's obviously officially in, and maybe some free TV stuff. Anyway, speaking of female fighters, Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Rose Namajunas put in another little war, and Joanna just had no answer again. Rose is just too good, and very defensive, very tight crouch-style defense, and Joanna just couldn't connect with much. Pretty one-sided, unanimous decision for Rose. Khabib obviously beat Al in the main event. We had Renato Carnero got a unanimous decision win over Calvin Kattar. He had a horrible fight. Zabit Magomedsharipov beat Kyle Bochniak, also by unanimous decision. Chris Grutzemacher beat Joe Luzon by corner stoppage in the second round. And like we talked about before this fight, you know, just Joe's had a lot of ups and downs, and it's really time for him to quit it.
Maybe this is it.
I guess it was
a very ugly fight. Very ugly.
Felt really bad about watching him go through that one.
Hate to see that.
But he really exploded out of the gate. The first round was great for him, but then he just gassed out and started getting just brutalized. Absolutely brutalized. The fight before that, Carolina Kowalkiewicz beat Felice Herrig by a split decision. A little bit of a war there. Olivier Aubin Mercier beat Evan Dunham by TKO from knee and punches. That was in the first round, 53 seconds in. Ashley Evans Smith in the second fight of the night got a unanimous decision over Beck Rollins. And Devin Clark beat Mike Rodriguez by unanimous decision in the first fight of the night. And then we had Bellator over in Budapest. I did not get to watch all the kickboxing, but as far as the MMA card, Benson Henderson beat Roger Huerta by a beautifully placed guillotine choke.
He looked good. Real good. That's the form that they'd expected from him when he signed on with them.
Yeah, he looked great, but you have to consider who he fought. You know, another guy, kind of, you could say, in the same category of being a UFC washout who just, you know, had to join Bellator because it was the only other competition out there. And
you remember Roger was back around 2007. He was the hottest thing going. And then there was that Sports Illustrated cover curse.
Yeah, I believe he was at the event. He was in one of the fights at the event that I went to, paid by Zions in New Jersey, Roger. Back in the day. I believe that was 2007. So he must have won. Then we had Adam Borix putting in a beautiful flying knee knockout over Teodor Nikolov. That was a pretty good strike right there. Denise Kieholtz beat Petra Kostkova by unanimous decision. Ryan Moore beat Giorgio Balsante by guillotine choke in the first round, 2 minutes and 46 seconds in. Ed Roos struggled a little bit. He went all three rounds for once with Ian Pascu, but he got the win, unanimous decision. A lot of wrestling. Norbert Novenyi beating Mehmet Yüksel in the first fight of the night by rear naked choke, 4 minutes and 42 seconds into the first round. And we have, again, Bellator in UFC. Again, this weekend, Friday the 13th, Bellator 197. Chandler versus Gertz. Brandon Gertz fighting Michael Chandler. And have these guys fought before? I don't know. Up on this rivalry.
No, I don't think so.
Chandler 17-4, Gertz 15-7, so obviously perfect on paper matchup there. Baby Slice also in action. Kevin Ferguson Jr. 2-1 fighting Devin Brock, who's 1-0. AJ McKee also on the card. He's undefeated at 10-0, fighting Justin Lawrence, who's 11-4. Logan Storley, 7-0, fighting Joaquin Buckley, who's 8-1. We got Josh Sampo, 11-5, fighting Dominic Mazzotta, 13-2. Rebecca Roos, 6-2, fighting Juliana Velasquez, 6-0. John Dowdy, 5-4, fighting Jeff Crotty, who's 1-1. Adam Chella, 8-8, fighting Dwayne Diggs, 2-1. Joe Roy, 1-4, fighting Court Whale, who is 2-3. Justin Robbins, 14-18-1, fighting AJ Sisko, who's 2-2. Jordan Howard, 10-4, fighting Eric Ellington, who's 4-0. And we got Derek Anderson, 14-3, fighting Zach Buccia, who's 18-9 in the first fight of the night. And then the big UFC card Saturday, going to be from Glendale, Arizona. Conor McGregor's not allowed in. Dustin Poirier, 22-5, fighting Justin Gaethje, 18-1 in the main event of the evening. Carlos Condit in the co-main event. He is 30-11, fighting Alex Oliveira, who's 17-5-1. Israel Adesanya, who's 12-0, fighting Marvin Vettori, 12-3-1. And a heck of a female fight here. Michelle the Karate Hottie Watterson is 14-6, fighting Courtney Casey Sanchez, who's 7-5. And we got Antonio Carlos Jr., 9-2, fighting Tim Boach, Maine native, who is 21-11. Wilson Rice, or Heiss, however you pronounce it. He is on the card. He's 22-8, fighting John Moraga, 18-6. And it's like an all-star row here. A lot of big-name fighters stuck in the middle here. Brad Tavares, 16-4, fighting Christoph Jutko, 19-3. Gilbert Burns, 12-2, fighting Dan Moret, who's 13-3. Shayna Dobson, 3-1, fighting Lauren Mueller, 4-0. Wonder if he's any relation to the special counsel. Spelled the same. Mueller. Mueller's daughter. Yushin Okami, way down on the card. 34-11, fighting Diego Lima, who's 12-6. Ultimate Fighter guy. And I believe cousin or brother? I think he's brother to the Bellator Lima. Douglas Lima. Arjun Bueller. Bueller and a Mueller. B-H-U-L-L-A-R. I guess that's Bueller. He's 7-0, fighting Adam Wyczorek, who is 9-1. We got Luke Sanders, 11-2, fighting Patrick Williams, 8-5. Matthew Lopez, 10-2, fighting Alejandro Perez, 19-6-1, and first fight of the night. Ricky Rainey, 13-4, fighting Muslim Salikov, who's 13-2. Don't ask his religion. that's it. That's it for scheduling. I don't know. You guys, any other big news topics we need to discuss?
No, you know, I just haven't heard anything new from the set. But, you know, apparently everything's still going on, and I know the couple days after I was there, they they had Sly Stallone at the Rocky statue, and they were adding a plaque to it, so he was there for that, and which is pretty cool, you know. Broke just filming for like a day, and but everything else I've heard that, you know, everything is been going, you know.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you were in three different countries, right? In one day?
I was in Florida the week, and then I flew home, and then I was in Vegas and the Ukraine. And it was Vegas and the Ukraine in the same day, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Which is impressive.
Well, I'm sure they're going to keep your scene, so we'll be seeing it.
Well, like I said, you know, hopefully you'll see me in the crowd. That'd be cool.
Well, to me,
flamingo spot.
To me, they have to show you because you're the only guy that came in with a uniform that they didn't have to change.
Exactly. You're perfect. I am. Oh, you know what was funny? It was last night. I went to dinner with some coworkers, which is funny as it is. And then, watching the Phillies game on the one TV, then the Flyers disaster of a game on the other TV, then the Sixers on another TV. So we're having dinner and all that. Well, I had to leave because I had to go go to the one store before it closed. 5 minutes after I left, I get a picture as they're watching TV. Guess who was on TV?
You.
Damn right. What the hell? And I'm like, what can I say? You know? Tornado, T-O-R-N-A-D-O. They're like, Jesus Christ. I'm like, thank God you weren't here when this was aired, because we never would have heard the end of it. And I'm like, yeah, you're pretty much right. Mm-hmm. I won't dispute that.
Well, there was a good fight at the Red Sox game last night, too.
Red
Sox
and
Yankees.
Yeah, there was a little bit of bum rushing. You know, the batter throws his bat down, and not much takedown defense shown there.
Well, I like it because, I mean, the young manager, they're on an undefeated streak, nine games in a row. They haven't lost. And there's a play where the guy puts his spikes up and actually kicks the dude's ankle out. And so there's some words back and forth, and this is what starts it all. So the pitcher decides on his own. Team doesn't get involved and tell him. The pitcher just decides on his own that he's going to nail this dude for this, because he just overheard shit about it. So dude comes up to bat, and wham, right on the friggin' elbow. So he runs out there, and the best part is the Boston pitcher. I mean, this just shows you how tough Boston guys are. And I don't think I've ever heard of this guy, the pitcher's name. He's probably a new guy, but he said, come on, like, let's go to the other guy. And the batter comes charging out there and tries to do something, and he ends up, like, diving face first into the ground, and the pitcher hauled off two right hooks, I believe, right on his face, and it was like a hockey fight after that. Bench is cleared. And I think the batter got the worst of it. So, just toughest pitcher I ever saw.
Then I guess it happened in another game last night, too.
The Astros, I believe, the world champions, had a fight, too, I think.
Yeah, there was some bum rushing there, too. You know, that never seems to work.
No.
Bum rushing. I just have a thing about that. Whenever I'm watching and someone does that, I'll start yelling, wake my dog up. Bum rushing. use better technique.
sneak, circle, stick and move.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for a takedown, don't just charge and dive at the leg. Set it up. Start throwing some punches. Cover yourself coming in. I mean, it's not rocket science. And some of these guys just bum rush, and then they get there, and it's they ain't a dollar short. Never seen
before. Usually they hope when they're taking the bum rush out there, they're hoping that the catcher tackles them before they get there.
Yeah.
And then
grab each other. Yeah, that's kind of the way it goes. So I guess in that one of those games, I can't remember which one, they said there was a whole bunch of kicked five guys out.
Well, it was funny because in the Red Sox game, they did some ejections, and one of the Yankees managers got ejected. And he flipped out worse than anybody after the fact. As he was going out, he's screaming and yelling at the ump like he walked across the field and impeded play, and like he just made a total ass of himself on the way out the door. And like you could basically hear whispers of what he's trying to say to the umps because they're trying to bleep it all out. But he was basically saying, why aren't the Red Sox guys getting thrown out? They obviously told him to throw the pitch. But yeah, the Yankees manager was not happy, and they actually the crew for the Red Sox game showed a couple Red Sox guys watching the manager flip out, and they were hiding behind their gloves because they're trying to laugh.
I just wish they kind of let these things play out.
Yeah.
When they get started, just kind of like some of the ancient battlefields, where they just keep charging.
Well, it's funny because the Red Sox and Yankees rivalry is so heated that the announcers and stuff who have been around long enough remember when this happened every game between the Yankees and the Red Sox. I mean, like it was bad. I mean, the Bruins too used to have a bad penchant for fighting. Like, bad. So, it's not Boston Strong for nothing. It's funny.
It's a fighting city there, buddy.
Yeah, it is. Even the new guys learn to fight, I guess.
Seems to be something in the water.
The dirty water.
I always think that was one of Stipe's comments after the fight. But, yeah, they came out. That town came out and supported Stipe quite well.
Nice. All right, well, till next week, we're going to say adios and good night.
All right, we'll keep tabs. I'm working on getting tickets for that fight at the Temple Leah Cora Center in a few weeks. Awesome. Jesse Hart on the card. A Philly battle between Joey DeWaco, who we've had on the show, and Brian Bye Bye Jennings, who challenged Vladimir Klitschko for the heavyweight championship of the world, and they were amateur rivals.
Nice.
DeWaco and Jennings, and DeWaco has a win over them in the amateurs. So it's gonna be pretty cool. It'll be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Send us what you can.
Yeah, we'll do.
All right, guys. Yes. Enjoy the fights this weekend.
Live it up. Sounds good, gentlemen. What's gonna be the baby?
All right.
Adios. Thanks for stopping by.